Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we meditate on our second reading from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, 6 to 11, the final sermon in our series of sermons called When in Romans. Let us pray. Lord God, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Well, we began our series on Romans by saying that this is a book that repeatedly changes the world by changing people. Little did we know how much our world would change by the end of this series. Today we are faced with a virus that's changing the way we worship, changing the way we work, changing the way we communicate, and changing the way we care for one another. Friends, we must embrace these changes, at least for a time, in order that we can remain true to our God, who does not change, and whose love for us is constant, and whose calling upon our lives continues. St. Paul reminds us that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Today, we are separated from one another, at least in one sense. We are separated physically, and we may be for some time. But as Christians, we remain united in a deeper sense. We remain united by the love of God for us in Christ. We remain united by our common baptism, by our common faith, and by the Spirit of God who dwells in us and who no virus can ever drive out. Friends, in these weeks of separation, I pray that we will also be united in the readings we read and in the sermons or devotions we access and in the prayers we pray. And as the weeks go by, I trust that we will come to treasure our unity and long for it and pray for it, perhaps more than we ever have before. Who knows, you might even start to miss things about going to church that you never thought you would. St. Paul writes, "The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace." This is a strong reminder to us that what we allow to govern or occupy or fill our minds leads in only one of two directions. Leads to life or leads to death. According to Paul, our minds are not neutral ground, but a battleground that is either occupied with the things of the flesh to our detriment, or with the things of God to our blessing. Today I just want to delve into those two possibilities. Firstly, the mind governed by the flesh. This refers to our natural human thought patterns and processes that we all operate with to some extent. Consider some of the natural responses to the coronavirus pandemic. Excessive worry, debilitating fear, panic, selfishness, for many a sense of helplessness or unworthiness or even guilt that I'm not doing enough or responding in the right way. When we fall back on our natural resources, we find ourselves with a long list of unanswered questions and unmet expectations. Perhaps you're experiencing some of that at this time. We want to control things but realize we can't. We want to secure things like our health, our future, our finances, our family stability. But we realize that we're up against something which threatens all of that. And so we ruminate and we think on natural, fleshly things. And if we're not careful, our minds are governed by them. Paul drives home the danger of this when he says, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Wow. Cannot please God. Are you saying that as long as I'm not a believer, I cannot please God? Well, maybe not me, but Paul is definitely saying that. He doesn't mean that such a person cannot think good thoughts or cannot do good things, but that they cannot please God because their hearts are far from Him. They're not motivated by what He's motivated by. They're not governed by what He's governed by. Pastor Tim Keller uses the example of a rebel soldier. Now, the rebel soldier may well look after his comrades and treat them with respect and even keep his uniform nice and clean, all good and honorable things. But he can't expect that any of these things will please the rightful ruler who he's trying to overthrow. You see, there's a battle of the wills going on, and only one can prevail. From the Christian perspective, the sooner we turn to God and the sooner we learn to pray, Lord, not my will, but yours be done, the better. So what about the mind governed by the Spirit? Paul says that the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. That to fill our minds with the thought patterns of the Holy Spirit rather than just our own ruminations, is life-giving and peace-making. Now, friends, that doesn't mean necessarily that you have to spend every minute of every day thinking about theology, like pastors and vicars do. But it does mean that we are to allow the Spirit of God to guide and shape our thinking and our being and our doing. So what are the main lessons and gifts and learnings and fruit of the Spirit? Well, the main lessons have to do with the life of Christ. Frederick Brunner talks about how the Spirit of God only teaches one course, and it's a course in Christ. His words, His deeds, and what they mean for His people. The gifts of the Spirit are baptism and communion. You know, it may be a while before you witness a Christian baptism. It may be quite a while before you partake of Holy Communion. That will be difficult for many of us. But friends, I encourage you to look forward to and to long for and to pray for your next opportunity to do so. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, you know well, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In these days when our bodies and movement may become increasingly restricted, our minds will become increasingly active, perhaps even hyperactive. So let us make sure they are thinking about the things of the Spirit. Let us use this time productively to reflect on the areas of our lives where we are keeping God's Spirit at bay, and to think about the areas in which God's Spirit may be leading us into. Friends, make sure you're listening to the mini sermons of the Spirit in your daily life as He reminds you that your security is in Christ, not the things of this world. As He reminds you that God is always at work, working for the good of those who love Him. Reminding you to fear not, to worry not, to be not anxious, to take heart, to lift your heads, to live by grace towards yourselves and others, and to put on the whole armor of God. Listen to these little sermons the Spirit of God preaches to you. He knows what He's talking about. Friends, we are not the living dead, but we are the dead who have been made alive, who have already crossed over from death to life. There is nothing a virus can do to you that sin hasn't done 10 times over. And there is nothing either of them can do to you that God cannot overturn 1,000 times over. Paul writes, if Christ is in you, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. You know, Martin Luther was one of those people who was deeply changed by the book of Romans. And a big part of that shift was in his thinking on this strange word righteousness that comes up again and again and again. He writes, upon reading this book, I felt myself reborn, and to have gone through open doors into paradise, I broke through. And as I had previously hated this phrase, the righteousness of God, I now began to regard it as my dearest and most comforting word. You see, Luther discovered that the righteousness of God is not primarily a demand upon him, but a gift given to him through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ and delivered by the Spirit of God. And all of a sudden, his burden lifted and his faith became in him a joyous and wonderful thing. Paul concludes in verse 11, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Friends, one day our mortal bodies, these mortal bodies, will become spiritual bodies and will dwell with God for eternity. But practice starts now. During these days, when the temptation for us is to become spiritually idle, let us instead be busy with the work of the Spirit, allowing Him to govern our minds and comfort our hearts and enliven our bodies to live in and live out the love of God in Christ for us, in our homes, in our families and communities. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Grant each one of us this mind so that we may continue to experience the blessings and joys of life with you, and the peace that flows from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.